long's Dusty Rhodes been? When did he pass? I can't remember.
I would say less than 2 years. Let me see. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, the common man, the working man's champion. He died 2015, June 11, 2015.
And I was watching, I have like a few days left on my WWE Network subscription because I only got it for the Royal Rumble because that's the only wrestling that I care about now is the Royal Rumble. But, I was watching some interviews with he was popping up on the screen, and the one that broke my heart, man, Rowdy Roddy Piper talking about wrestling. And it's like, oh, man. Hot Rod, it's sad. And then freaking Ronda Rousey co-opting that Hot Rod shirt. I don't know how I feel about that. That seems
well. The interesting thing is, and I'm not a big fan of that either, just because I'm not a big fan of hers. I mean, I'm not a big fan of UFC or Ultimate Fighting anyway. But apparently, from what I read, is that her family, or I guess before Piper passed away, he gave her that nickname of Ronda, Rowdy Ronda, and I think the family okayed her wearing his jacket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's not like she's, you know, riding on his coattails without permission, but it's still a little like, you know, just get your own gimmick there.
She's still the person who retweeted a Sandy Hook conspiracy theory a few days after it happened, or a few weeks after it happened a few years ago. So
yeah, she's not a really good person in real life. I guess she's, you know, she's a really good fighter, I guess, and she went to the Olympics, I think. Didn't she win? She might have won a bronze medal or something like that. But
yeah, you're right.
She's a conspiracy person, and also I think she was in. She might have beat up her boyfriend, or so she's kind of does some spousal stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know if I don't know if just going on that tweet, because I don't know what the relationship was like with the spousal abuse. Maybe he was a dick. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But I don't know. Should I hold people responsible for the stupid stuff that they tweet? Like, I don't know. Does she really feel that way, or did she say like, oh, I can't believe I just tweeted that. Oh, crap. I'm in trouble now. Like, I don't know. Did she ever apologize for that?
Did she ever unretweet it? Because you could always deleted it.
I think she deleted the tweet or something like that. Because she quoted the tweet and she was like, "Oh, this is interesting," or something like that. And it's like, what are you doing?
But did she delete it after everyone decided to yell at her? Or was it moments? You know, because if you tweet something and you're like, you know what, that's kind of dumb. I'll take it on. It's my fault. Before anybody sees it, then that's fine. But.
Yeah, I'm looking at the story on the Bleacher Report, and it says that she deleted her original retweet of the Sandy Hook shooting fully exposed video from her Twitter feed. So, good God, man, we haven't podcasted in months, and here we are talking about like bullshit Sandy Hook, whatever you call it, conspiracy theories, man. What's wrong with us?
I'm always a big fan of conspiracy theories, but I'm not one to believe in them.
No, that one, that's a shit conspiracy theory. I don't like to swear that much, but that's what I feel about that. Sugarcoat it would be lying on my end.
You're fully validated when you drop the S-bomb.
Well, thank you. So, the last time that we podcasted, by the way, the last time we podcasted, the hard drive on my computer crapped out. Thankfully, nothing bad has happened this time. So
that's right.
I blame you for the $100 I had to spend on the on the computer getting it fixed. So
now, when was the last time technically that was that in the end of summer, or was it the beginning of the fall?
Four score and something years ago or something like that. I don't know. Let's see. It's been so old that my computer doesn't even have the geez Louise. It was July. I was going to say my computer doesn't even have the address in the address bar anymore. That's how long ago it was. July 23rd, 2017. We talked about Wonder Woman. That was a great movie.
Jeez. That was a great movie. And two days after my birthday and about almost a month before all the shenanigans at my apartment started.
Yeah. Wow.
We had giant water damage in August 11th. And we had to vacate our apartment on September 12th. No, excuse me. It happened on August 12th, and I'll never forget that we had to leave our apartment on September 11th.
Did you ever get that fixed?
It finally got fixed. Now, listen to this. It got fixed, and then the ceiling, all the drywall got put up, and about a couple days later, water started leaking once again. So we had to call the contractor. He came in, cut that all out. And it finally, everything was fixed and finished the like the Tuesday or Wednesday before Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got some Noah's Ark stuff going on in your house, man.
Seriously. Yeah. We're wearing water wings, you know?
You're like Kevin Costner in that water roll movie.
Indeed.
Oh, man. That was I haven't seen that movie in ages. You think it holds up, or is it still a crap film?
I don't know. You know, I've only actually seen it once, and I actually kind of enjoyed it. I didn't think it was that bad, as everyone would say it was.
Remember, it had that little girl from Napoleon Dynamite in there. She's like some, like, what did that little girl in that movie do? She's like some
magical being
or something like that.
All I remember is Dennis Hopper was the bad guy, and Kevin Costner.
Ah, Dennis, do you like Dennis Hopper better as the heel or the face?
He's a good bad guy. He's an excellent bad guy.
He is what makes that Speed movie a lot of fun. Just his villainous persona.
Pop quiz, hotshot.
I'm probably going to fail.
You know, I will say that a movie that does hold up, two nights ago, we decided to watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure on a pure whim. And it is still awesome. It's still fun. It's only an hour and 31 minutes long, so it's not that long, but it goes by so fast, and it's a really funny movie.
That, you know what? I watched that movie probably about – I watched the first Bill and Ted movie a while back, and that was fun. And then I tried to watch Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. That one's not as much fun.
No.
You know what's really uncomfortable is they used the F word in that movie. Not like.
Did they really?
Yeah. Somebody calls somebody the F word. No, I'm not talking about, you know, the F bomb that you would hear on the playground or, you know, in a movie or something like the.
Well, they do use the F word in this one as well, but
I don't remember
just
that part.
After they hug each other and then look at each other.
Ugh. Oh, man. Oh, did they really?
Was it 1989 or something like that? 1991? I don't know. But, you know, I haven't seen Bogus Journey since I saw it in the theater, and that's how bad it was.
I think in Bogus Journey, they say it in like a mean sort of way. It's like a very mean-spirited type of way or something. I don't know. It really took me out of the movie when I saw that. I was like, aw. Bill and Ted, because Bill and Ted, they're nice guys. Like, they don't seem like the type of guys who would say that, even back, if you allow for that kind of language, back in like 1989, 1991, whenever that movie came out. They're just fun-loving guys, you know? Like, they don't.
Exactly.
They shouldn't be saying stuff like that. But, so you told me your house is now fixed. That's the new update with you. I think the last time we podcasted, I talked about, we moved to Austin. That was,
that's right.
Three episodes ago. Well, three episodes later, we're moving away from Austin. So,
ooh.
I can't stay in one place, I guess, on this podcast. I'm coming and going.
You're a vagabond. What would you call it? A gypsy, I guess. You gotta move.
Gypsy. I want to be like that Nomad guy from Marvel Comics. That's me right there. The original Ghost Rider. He became Nomad, I think.
No. That was he became Johnny Blaze.
Oh, is he Johnny? I thought Johnny Blaze was Nomad.
No, Johnny Blaze was the original Ghost Rider, and then when he lost the powers, he just became Johnny Blaze. Nomad actually was, I think it was Captain America when he stopped being Captain America for a while.
I remember I had the trading card of this. I was a kid. I collected Marvel trading cards. I didn't collect baseball trading cards as much. I collected the Marvel ones. Do you have any of the hologram ones?
I still have them. Yeah.
Do you really? You should take some pictures of them and put those up on the.
I got to find them. They're at my parents' house. My old room.
I see. Nomad.
But that was so the Nomad card that I think you're thinking of, it's the white border, he's standing up, looks like on a rooftop in like a black outfit, and he's holding his gun. I think that's not Steve Rogers, but that's the second Nomad number 2.
I think we're both correct because it says he's the name of several fictional characters. So, Steve Rogers, Edward Furble, Jack Monroe, Ricky Barnes, Ian Rogers, and man, somebody on the internet lied to me, man. The internet lied to me because I thought I looked this up to you the other day. So I was looking up Ghost Rider because I couldn't fall asleep the other night. And I could have sworn that somebody said Johnny Blaze became Nomad or whatever. But
you know, maybe that was recent. I don't know. That's I'm only going by the old school stuff that I know of.
Yeah, well, I did a find search in the Wikipedia article about Johnny Blaze, and it does not come up. So I don't know what in the world I was thinking. I don't know. Maybe I was all, like, stupid or something.
Maybe you're jacked up on some Mountain Dew. You crossed the streams.
I was all hopped up on Mountain Dew. Man, this just drives me nuts now. I don't know, man. My life is a sham. I'm living
in a
sham. It's
okay. I forgive you.
Well, thank you. No, we are moving to Arkansas this summer.
Wow.
Because my job allows me to work remote, and I got approval to work across state lines because apparently doing that, there's a lot of different tax codes and all that stuff that you have to try to get situated and settle before you can just up and go wherever you want to go. But they approved that, and I love the city of Austin. There's so much fun stuff to do here. The food here is amazing, but it costs so freaking much, especially when you got three kids. It costs a fortune to live out here. I'm not telling any tales out of class, but we pay close to $1,100 a month in rent for a three-bedroom apartment with the world's smallest kitchen. It's like probably the size of your closet or something. And we don't even have like a yard. It's got like a single car garage, but there's no yard or anything. So I can't have a barbecue grill or anything fun like that here.
Wow. I dream of three bedroom apartments. We're in a one bedroom and that's 13 something.
Jeez Louise, man. You got to like move to Austin or something like that.
I got to move or move to Arkansas.
Move to Arkansas. You don't want to move to Arkansas. I'm only because I need to. You have the choice, man. You have the freedom. You can go anywhere. You've been all around the world, man. You don't need to go to Arkansas.
Yeah. I don't think I'd ever want. I've never been to Arkansas, and I don't. I don't want to offend anybody because I know some people who are from Arkansas. And
nobody
still
listens to this show, anyways, man. You're not.
Nobody does. But I don't think I'd ever move. Or I almost visited Arkansas last year, but that fell through. So.
Oh well, maybe next time you can visit Arkansas if the timing is right. But we will. The place we're moving into, it's a rental house my parents have. It'll save us more than half of what we're paying right now in rent. And
beautiful.
I mean, we live paycheck to paycheck right now, and we're just finally this past few months or so, we're finally gotten ourselves out of debt, we can finally put some money away into savings, and moving out here. We'll be in a house that has a big honking yard, and I can grill. I can hang my clothes up to dry outside if I want to. I can live life. So it's gonna be an interesting life change though, because it's out in the middle of nowhere. Because it's the next to my parents' house, so the only internet that we get is satellite internet. Because they don't have the broadband or anything like that, and the speed on the satellite internet is fine, but even if you pay like the top tier, like the $100 a month, you only get a 50 gig data cap on your internet. And about 25 to 30 gig of that is my job from home. So we can't sit around watching Netflix or Amazon Prime all day willy nilly like we do around here. Like we got to find like other crap to do. Because if my internet gets drained on that data cap, then daddy can't make any money from work because he can't go to work. And then I get fired.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're out living in a box on the street.
Now, that's crazy. Now, can you take maybe your laptop and I don't know if you have a laptop, but can you take your laptop and go to some, you know, get the Wi-Fi and jump on that for work?
Yes, I have some backup options, set up or whatever. Like go to my
mom's
store.
That's at least good.
Yeah. So hopefully we won't have to do that. Cause I don't want to have to drive to work. If my office is right there in my house, it would be kind
exactly.
Of
that's it. I mean, it's like you said, it's the American dream.
Yeah.
live in a nice place and hey, work at home. Why not?
So yeah, I told my wife, I said, our lives are going to be like completely different in like 5 months. Cause we'll move out there in July. Like, everything we do, just like completely different. And I'm really looking forward to it. It's a weird thing to say. Like I'm looking forward to less internet in my life, but I'm kind of looking forward to like doing other things instead of just sitting around watching like the same Gilmore Girls reruns on Netflix over and over again.
It, you know, it's a good thing to get out, you know, and hey, you know, you can even hit up the library. I'm sure the library probably has some DVDs. I know the local library around me has some good DVDs.
Yeah. Our library doesn't have any of that in Arkansas. Well, it does, but you have to drive all the way to Fort Smith and that's like a 35 minute drive. And then since you don't live in the county that the Fort Smith Library is located in, it's like a $35 a year fee or something like that. So,
well, you know, I guess you are right. I mean, you know, I fully expect nobody actually knows how to read in Arkansas, so I wouldn't even expect a library.
You can look it up on a map. Mansfield, Arkansas. That is, that's where we'll be. I don't know what the Mansfield Library looks like because they don't have a website. It's just like their phone number and address. It's like, guys, let's maybe work on your web presence there a little bit, people.
Are you sure you're not only just going to another state, but you're going back into time as well?
It's like that Hoosiers movie in like 1955. Gene Hackman is going to come teach my school how to play basketball.
Now, I know that movie, but I've never seen that entire movie before.
Oh, we were talking about Dennis Hopper earlier, man.
I know.
He's great in that movie. He's,
yeah.
He's a lovable drunk that disappoints his son.
No. Oh.
We can all identify with that in our own lives, I think.
Sure.
But you've never seen Hoosiers, though?
No, I've never seen Hoosiers before. You know, it's funny. I have a certain – and even though I'd worked at a video store, a Blockbuster video in college, so I was constantly renting and borrowing movies. There's a select group of really famous movies that I have always slipped through my grasp. I've never actually seen before.
Okay. Hoosiers is one of them. Name one other great movie.
There's another one, Taxi Driver. I've never seen Taxi Driver.
I don't think I've ever seen that either.
That's Robert De Niro.
I've never seen Princess Bride. I feel like that's a moral failing in my life.
Now you should. Now here's the funny thing, and for you and for anybody who's listening, you can if they're I think they're 30th anniversary just came out recently.
Oh.
For the 25th.
Congratulations.
They came out on Blu-ray. I am in the Blu-ray special edition area.
Oh, nice.
I was interviewed for the movie.
Oh, really?
At my friend was working on this post stuff, and they had interviewed a bunch of the stars, and they were asking them what they thought about and how they, you know, did they expect the movie to become this big and then this cult classic-y. And they also interviewed a select group of fans. And my friend said, "Hey, I know you love Princess Bride." I said, "I certainly do." And she said, "Well, you need to be interviewed for this." And I am. And I still have not seen the Blu-ray edition for this. So
I thought you were about to say, "And I've still never seen The Princess Bride." It's like, well, what the hell are you talking about, man?
But if and when you do watch it, I am wearing, and this is from a few years ago, I have a gigantic beard on my face.
Why am I just now finding out about this? The movie, not the beard.
Exactly. I don't know. Princess Bride's awesome. I think Princess Bride is a great movie. Not only it's for all ages too.
Yeah, I feel like I need to sit down with my daughter and watch that movie. Like,
how old is she?
She will be. Oh, she's turning 6 on Wednesday.
Woo-hoo! Oh,
and
she'll
if you're
love this.
Listening to this like 5 years from now, that was February 28th, 2018. Is when she's turning 6.
February 28th. Well, Fiance,
yes,
her birthday is tomorrow,
right,
February 25th.
Oh, wow. And she's a bit older than my daughter.
She's not six.
She's 19 probably. Years old, Dr. Girl.
Yeah.
Youngest doctor ever.
Thank goodness.
No, happy birthday to the person who cannot be named on the show because we never like to say her name out loud. Just courtesy for her, you know, protection or whatever. But
Voldemort, yes.
y'all gonna have any fun plans that you can actually say out loud on the air?
We're gonna go to a really cool. This nice restaurant bar that's really close to us that we went to maybe about a year or so ago with one of our friends, and we are gonna go to that. Check that out. No other plans. Maybe just kick it, rest tomorrow. Maybe go to this really cool. There's a man-made lake really close to my parents' house. That's like a spiritual. It's a non-denominational place and it's very, very serene and everything like that. And people go to just kind of like go meditate and stuff like that. It's a really cool place to walk around. They've got geese floating in this giant lake and it's a really cool gardens and stuff like that. So we might just walk around that for a little bit and, yeah.
the geese are alive, right? They're not like dead floating geese all over the
place. No, they're not dead floating geese. And there's giant koi fish as well. And if you get there early enough, you can they have food out for the fish, and you can throw that, and they will come and attack that food.
Well, that sounds like a very, very peaceful way to celebrate the birthday.
Yes. Yeah, we're gonna do very chill.
I applaud you for that. No, now I gotta get this Princess Bride movie, and maybe y'all should watch that for her birthday. That should be
I don't know if she's as big a fan as I am. I grew up with that film, and I've seen it many, many times, and it's an extremely quotable film, I will say that.
Is that the one where he says, you killed my father, or something like that. Prepare to die. What was that?
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Oh, I was close. Oh, I see that meme online or something.
And oh, yeah.
Is there also one – what's the movie? Is it the one where he says, like, this word, I don't think you know what it means? Is that from that movie?
That's from that as well, yes.
Okay, man. I know all these quotes, and I've never seen the film.
So. I know. Come on. And it's a wonderful cast. I mean, there's tons of amazing actors in it. Big name. I mean, not only Billy Crystal, Cary Elwes. We've got Andre the Giant has a part in it.
That's why I need to watch that movie. They got a documentary on Andre coming out on HBO. Did you see that?
Yes, they do. I saw the trailer for it. It looks very interesting. I can't wait to see it.
I need to subscribe to HBO just to watch that movie because that documentary looks amazing. And I thought it was interesting that Bill Simmons' group is producing it, because a few years ago when he was still with ESPN, somebody said, what's a 30 for 30 that you wanted to do? And he said, Andre the Giant. But he said WWE would want to be the ones producing it, not us. And that, I guess, that was kind of like a riff or a disagreement. But I guess with ESPN being in good grace, or with WWE being in more good graces with different media outlets and stuff now, I guess maybe they were – okay with doing a thing for HBO?
That makes sense. I don't know how that works. I wonder. I don't know. I'm not that big a fan of Bill Simmons because he's a big fanboy. He doesn't
He gets on my nerves. And he likes the teams that I like, and he still gets on my
nerves. I know. He's one of yours.
Oh, man, I know. I feel like a terrible person. It's a moral failure on my end that we share the same teams. But it's not the worst person I share a fandom with. We'll leave that person's name out of it. But he's a certain president of our country also likes the Patriots. So
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
That makes me feel.
If that doesn't sway you to join another team, then I don't know what.
No, my gut still hurts from that Super Bowl loss a few weeks ago. So I really want to.
Well,
I try not to watch any highlights or anything.
The normal people and the regular people in this country needed a win. All right, we've been beat down a little bit.
Yeah, recently. Congratulations, you've made the Philadelphia Eagles fans even more insufferable than they've ever been. At least if we had won, we would stay the same amount of insufferable, so you would still be able to deal with it. Now you've unleashed a terrible monster or whatever. What's that line from that World War II movie? I fear we've awakened a sleeping giant. That's what you've done with the Eagles, man.
A sleeping drunk giant. Yes.
So you know what? In September, when those Eagles fans are pissing and moaning and annoying everybody, you know what? You people, you brought this upon yourselves. don't come crying to me when the Eagles fans are annoying the crap out of you. So, no, congratulations. Whatever. Go F yourselves. I don't care. I was going to say, so you guys mentioned going to a bar. I was actually at a bar the other night with some friends. Look at me going to a bar now.
Oh, look at you, fancy pants.
Oh, man. There was this couple, and I haven't been to that many bars, like, in my life. So I don't know if this is, like, proper bar etiquette or not. But there was this couple, and they were making out in the booth for, like, an hour and 45 minutes. Like, they would come up for air, like, every now and then. But they were, like, right in my line of sight. So I wasn't, like, a weirdo peeping Tom or whatever. They were just there. They're right in front of me.
You didn't have your binoculars with you?
But they had their hands up. Like, he was not, like, you know, getting to third base or anything like that.
Oh, I gotcha. But now, what time of night was this? I'll explain that.
We got to the bar. My friends, they got off work at midnight. So we got there at 12. And my friend Emily, she got there a few minutes before I did. And she said they were hardcore going at it, you know, when she got there.
They're probably also hardcore, probably into a couple of rounds into it already as well.
Mm, yeah. I was playing some Neo Geo Samurai Showdown when I got to
Boom. That now that's the picture I remember you sending. Yes. I love that that Samurai Showdown.
Yeah, it was the same bar. It was a Neo Geo machine and it only had that game, which is weird because normally Neo Geo machines got like more than one cartridge in there.
At least four games sometimes that they would have. Yes.
But then when I was looking at the prices on those cartridges are like $200-$400 sometimes.
Whoa.
For like the really good games. So I could see why the bar only had one in there. That seemed like that made sense. But it was a brand new screen, so like part of me was like, is this like a MAME situation that they just like put into like an arcade cabinet, or is this like a legit arcade cabinet or something? I don't know. Hmm. But so anyways, I was doing that and she came and got me and she's like, by the way, this couple, they've been making out this whole time. I'm like, wait, what? They were smooching and then I got you smooching with my brother, you know, that sort of thing. But, no, they were smooching and Home then he starts like kissing her neck and she's like throwing her head back and like her eyes are rolling back into her head and stuff like that. And so
get a room.
That happened right up until about 1:30. Last call was at 2. And so they left and they mentioned something. They stopped at the bar and I guess probably like paying up their tab or something like that. And then they left. So for me, I've been to the bar twice. In the past, I would say probably 7 years, I've only been to a bar twice. So is that normal bar behavior or did we see something goofy, stupid?
And that was a Saturday night or a Friday night?
It was a Thursday night.
Oh, that's even more. I would only expect that to happen maybe on a late around that same time on a Friday or a Saturday night. That's when the freaks come out. But a Thursday night? Woo, interesting.
Yeah.
They're living dangerously.
So we also had a debate. Did that couple meet at that bar and did sparks fly? One of the people in our group said it was probably a second date situation. And then the other two people in our group, they said, no, it's probably – they've probably been dating a while. I thought maybe they're like – they were having an affair or something like that. Ooh. And that's why they had to make out for so long at the bar because they can't go home because, you know, there's other people at the house that don't need to see them. So
now you're right. They probably have been dating before because I will say that they probably hadn't met each other at that night because their respected people that they had arrived with at the bars would probably be pulling, you know, especially the girlfriends would be, come on, let's go. Oh my God, he's gross.
he was not bad looking. He was better looking than her. I will say that. He had long hair though. He looked like a dirty hippie, but a charming, attractive dirty hippie. But.
Some people like to call that they like to describe Jesus to be like that too.
Well, and he must have been a good kisser too, because she was like rolling her this guy, not Jesus. She was like rolling her eyes in the back of her head or whatever. I was like, dang! I was like, I need to bring my wife to this bar. This bar brings out magic.
Maybe she was possessed by the devil. I don't know.
Maybe he was trying to get it out of her. So I don't know. Whoa. And then the two guys playing pool, they were not making out, but they were getting really handsy with each other and everything.
Whoa.
So, you know, yeah, love was in the air at Aristocrats.
It was right around Valentine's Day, correct?
Yeah, about a week removed from Valentine's Day.
All right. So maybe there's some Valentine's blowback. Cupid is still slinging some arrows in the air. You know?
So I guess people making out, that's normal bar behavior then? I should not be shocked or amazed.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes you go to a bar and you never see that. And then sometimes you see it a few times. But that's why I asked if it was Friday or Saturday, because Thursday is I don't know. Sometimes that doesn't happen on
That's
Thursday.
What makes me think they were unfaithful lovers, because it was Thursday night, you know, and it's like, you know, why did you have to get out so badly on a Thursday night? Oh, it's because you don't get a chance to see each other very often. That's why.
Or maybe they work on they don't work on Friday, so they decided to just have fun on a Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the bar on Thursday. I was not making out with anybody. I'm too classy for that.
You're making out with Neo Geo. That's all.
A Samurai Showdown, indeed. I mean, if you're gonna make out with an arcade machine, a Neo Geo is probably the one to go with. I would think on that one. But
now I remember the one character that I always played was the ninja that was dressed in black. I think was that the same game that I'm thinking of.
I think so. There's a ton of ninjas on that game, but
yeah,
there was this giant dude who had like an axe or whatever. And then,
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like a big, he looked like the Blob, like all like muscled yes. up, like or whatever. But then I was like this white ninja or whatever. He had like the white gi on or whatever. Looked like some Ryu knockoff from Street Fighter or whatever. But, but yeah, so I got my butt kicked both times because I'm not very good at fighting games, but, you know. And then also this bar had one of those like bullshit jukeboxes that's like all digital or whatever. It's like a dollar for one song. You know which ones I'm talking about.
I know which ones you're talking about.
But they only had one Beatles song on there. It's like, that's the greatest band of all time and you only have one Beatles song on there? What's the matter with you? So is that just not appropriate bar music or is that a stupid jukebox?
I don't know. I would have put on Freebird from Lynyrd Skynyrd and then walked away.
No, I didn't think of that. I put on Come Together because that was the only Beatles song they had on there. I was wanting to find the Beatles song Eleanor Rigby because the first line is, I look at all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? I thought that would have been fitting bar
funny
music.
Funny story about Eleanor Rigby. So I went to – I've been to my local comic book shop a few times recently because – on Black Friday, no, it was maybe the Saturday, it was a Saturday, so it was Small Business Saturday or something like that. They had their annual quarter sale where they would have bins of comic books out in the back of their, back of the store and in their parking lot, and they would have basically all comics in these bins would be a quarter.
That's good.
So that was fun. It was awesome. But most recently I went there because I was going to go, I needed to buy a carrying box for some comics, and they were having their dime sale, which was comics that weren't in the quarter sale, but they were, you know, I guess overstock or something like that, which is fun. You know, spent $2, got 20 comics. Sure.
That's
fun.
That's a good deal, man.
But as I was flipping through these things, Eleanor Rigby was blasting in the store, and I was like, oh, how appropriate for this. Because I was watching, you know, there was a couple guys sitting at a table playing some you know, whatever card game that is, Magic or whatever it is, you know. And I'm just like, oh, so ironic.
That's probably one of my five favorite Beatles songs or whatever.
Love that song. Love that song.
One thing we didn't get to talk about because we've only done like three podcasts in like the last year or so. My daughter, she's getting older, and yes. I was like, I need to teach her the ways of the world. I need to educate this girl, you know. So I was like, I need to make sure she grows up listening to good music. And I was talking with my wife, and I was like, if you could only listen to one band for the rest of your life, like, wouldn't it be the Beatles? Because they got, like, such a wide catalog of songs for, like, every mood and occasion. They got funny songs, they got happy songs, sad songs, love songs, goofy songs, like Paperback Writer or whatever. And so I was like, okay, we're going to start listening to more Beatles music in the car.
Cool.
And my five-year-old, soon to be 6 years old, she absolutely loves Beatles music.
Sweet. Like, that's awesome.
It's like, I feel like I job well done as a parent, you know, like not really job well done. I'm a horrible parent. I screw up, you know, I'm imperfect in so many ways, but I feel like with all the mistakes I make, having your kid love and adore like the greatest band of all time, that's to me, that was such a huge win. I was like, oh my God, I finally got something right in my life. So
that is pretty cool. That's yeah. And you know what, maybe she might like the Yellow Submarine movie in maybe a year or so.
I need to watch that with her. That would be fun because it's all like cartoon or whatever. So,
yeah, it's cartoon. I think I had to watch it for a film class in college, and I think there's not questionable things, but it's just weird. You know, it's the Beatles.
It's
but
weird.
They have good music in it. Yeah. Eleanor Rigby plays in it. I know that.
Yeah, I think that was from the actual Yellow Submarine album. But she loves it. I mean, she'll be sitting there. She's like, she'll say, Mom, who's this singing? And at least she'll be like, the Beatles? And Lucy just kind of rolls her eyes like, I know that. Which Beatle is singing? That's pretty good.
Somebody's sassy.
But right now, Paul is her favorite. So she'll get in the car and she'll ask, can we listen to Yesterday or, you know, whatever. And
cool.
She wants to get a Paul McCartney poster. It's a poster of him from like one of his solo tours. But he's just looks like he's just screaming like a maniac. I'll have to send you a link to it. But it's like, it's like the goofiest looking poster. And And she says she wants it because she imagines that he's like going rah, 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 rah. That was her words. So, you know, she likes, you know, the little kid stuff that's just, you know, like dumb or whatever, I guess.
That's cool. Adult.
But the fact that she likes that, I'm hoping that it's not a phase and that she'll be growing up, you know, listen to, you know, the good music instead of like the crap music, you know, the crap pop music. Get off my lawn, kids. You know, that, that kids listen to nowadays.
Damn kids, get off my radio lawn.
So, you know, I feel like that's my proud parenting moment right there is getting my kids to do that. So
very cool.
Have
very
your
cool.
children started listening to the Beatles music?
Excuse me now, what?
Have your children? Yeah, you know you've got children out there.
I have numerous children all around the world.
You're popping $2 bills into birthday cards and sending them across the globe. Globetrotter, man, you and Dr. Fiance were off in Brazil and Antarctica, you know. There's some,
exactly. Some all lonely sorts scientists of, all down. Sorts of places.
Yeah, you know, it's getting a little crazy, getting a little wild down there. So
international wild.
Like a James Bond, but you work at a doctor's office instead of the BBC. MI6. The BBC. That's like the news channel or whatever. Yes, MI6. It's been a while since I've watched a Bond movie. Hey, we were talking about comic books earlier. We don't got much time left on the show, but I cannot leave this podcast without telling you how absolutely amazing Black Panther was. Holy shit, that was the best Marvel movie ever. I've had like 2 or 3 days to sleep on this, and I still believe that is the best Marvel movie ever made.
I liked it a lot. I don't know if it's the best Marvel movie ever made. Iron Man 1 is still my number one of all time, but I really enjoyed Black Panther, and it really, really was true to the character in the original comics and in the comics as well. It was pretty pitch perfect for what I would have thought the movie should have been.
Because I was going into it, I was like, oh my God, like everybody's loving this movie. Like, it's the only thing I'm hearing about it. So I'm like, am I going to be let down by it? Am I going to walk away just a tad, you know, disappointed? Not to be all like, you know, hipster on it or whatever, but whenever somebody builds something up, inevitably you're, you know, at some point you're going to be disappointed. But
exactly. It doesn't meet your expectations. But this one did.
I think probably the thing I appreciated the most, and you don't really get this with a lot of Marvel movies, is it was a really good villain. Like, you were sympathetic to him.
Yes, very sympathetic because, it, you know, hey, he grew up wanting what he wanted, and I mean, without spoiling much, but he was
Okay, spoilers for the next 4 or 5 minutes here. Just skip the rest of the podcast if you don't want Black Panther spoilers. But no, what were you going to say before you kinda...
He had the proper motivation, and he was a bad guy, but with shades of gray.
Yeah. I mean, he was killing a lot of people and everything. That part was not not the best thing for him to do. But I don't know, were you sitting there when he was explaining his motives and he says, you know, all these people around the world are oppressed. We need to, you know, send some weapons out. Were you sitting there thinking, oh, that's kind of a good point there, man. Maybe that's a good idea, sir.
You know, it's he made some interesting points. And I can see both sides. And he was obviously motivated by revenge, but he was also he believed in his heart that he was being right.
Yeah, because with the Marvel movies, it's usually pretty cut and dry. Like, you're never, ever taking, like, you know, you're not going to take Purple Man's side in Jessica Jones. Like, it's just not going to happen. But this one, it was like, I was watching, I was like, wait, he's the villain, right? Because that's a really good point that he just made there. So, but man,
I loved everybody in it. I loved Andy Serkis as Claw. Claw is one of my I haven't read much about him, but I know about his history and stuff like that. I'm a little sad that he did get killed, but because we would never be able to see the sound version of Claw, where he's just 100%. He's human embodiment of sound, but he was pretty awesome. I like Claw. And M'Baka, who's the man ape.
I just realized that's who Claw is. It's the dude who's like purple and he looks like he's got like a satellite dish on his arm or whatever.
Yes.
I didn't know that was the same guy. Oh my God. That's amazing.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm really, really sad. I hate this movie now because we don't get to see that version of him. But
and M'Baka, who is the man ape, I thought he was hilarious. He had some really funny lines where he told Martin Freeman's character to shut up or that I'll feed you to my children, and then Debbie, just kidding, we're vegetarians. Ha ha ha.
I also loved when Martin Freeman Ross in this movie. I have a question about that in a minute. But he tries to like speak up, and they all start barking at him or whatever. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's great. The question I had is that Ross? Because I'm not on comic books as much as you, but is that comic books related to like Thunderbolt Ross at all?
Or that they just have I don't the same know. Name? I don't know about that.
Good are you, man? You don't even know that answer to that question, man.
What a dork I am. No, but the other Ross from the Captain America movies, he was the senator or the secretary of defense or something like that who was dealing with Tony, and he put all those the Avengers in the raft. He was I think he's Ross, the general who doesn't like Hulk.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know if Martin Freeman's Ross is related to that guy.
I don't think so. I mean, it could be a coincidence. Though it's interesting because I was really convinced that Martin Freeman's character in the Captain America movies, especially the most previous one, the Civil War, I thought he was going to be more of a bad guy. But in this one, he turned out to be a good guy. So I was happily surprised.
Yeah, no, I didn't know where he was going. I didn't know if he was going to be a bad guy. But I was like, what's this guy's motivation here? He seems shades of gray or whatever. But
and his Black Panther's T'Challa's sister Shuri was awesome. The actress was hilarious, and I thought she had some really
for me.
So she had some great lines.
She was great. When she looks down at his shoes and says, "What are those?
What are those?" my theater went crazy with that one. That was hilarious.
There were two lines that got the biggest laughs. It was that one, and it was when Michael B. Jordan's character, what's his name again?
It's Eric Killmonger.
Okay, Killmonger. When Killmonger shows up at the throne room, he just says, "Sup, Auntie." Like,
"Sup, Auntie."
Oh, yeah. Man, the place just lost their minds when he said that. And then the couple next to me, when Killmonger's in that museum, and he's like, "How do you think your people got a hold of these artifacts or whatever? Do you think it was peaceful or something?" That is here, like the woman, like two seats down from me, go,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Or when Shuri called Ross colonizer.
Yeah, that got some good laughs too. But it was funny in ways that I was not expecting it to be funny. It just felt like the jokes and stuff were just well placed, and I like that they didn't go overboard with the jokes because it's not like a jokey movie. Unlike that Thor movie, which every day that goes by, that Thor movie, I want to see it less and less. Like,
really?
Yeah, I fell asleep during that movie in the movie theater. By the way,
oh, did you?
Yeah, it was just kind of boring, man. Like, I know that's probably a bad opinion, but.
It's your opinion. That's it. I can see that because there were a lot of jokes. When I went into Thor 3, a lot of people said, "Oh, it's really funny. It's really funny." And I didn't think it was that funny. There were some funny parts, but I didn't think it was that funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, compared to all the other Marvel movies, that was like, slapstick humor or something like that.
Well, I also thought that Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I thought a lot of those jokes missed on Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah. I need to go back and rewatch Guardians of the Galaxy 2 because I really love that first one. That up until I saw Black Panther, that first one was my favorite Marvel movie. It's just something about that movie is just wonderful. But with that Thor Ragnarok, though, don't you think that movie would have been better if that Hulk reveal was a complete secret instead of plastering it all over the trailers and everything?
I think so.
Like, that would have been amazing. Like, who is this person called? Oh, my God, it's the Hulk. I didn't know. Yeah. How did you get here?
I work with him.
That was a good line. But it's like when you actually see in the theater, it's like I've seen this line like a million times. And
that's – I don't like when they give away the really good jokes and stuff like that. But you know, like I said, Black Panther was pretty good. I really enjoyed it, and I like the two the things in the credits. We had the he's now decided to open up the borders of Wakanda to share the technology, and then we get to see Bucky is recouping in Wakanda as well.
How did he get to Wakanda? Did they say how he got there? Or
that was after Civil War when he and Cap went there.
Okay, and I really need to rewatch some of these Marvel movies and catch up before the big Infinity War.
I know this, which is actually last week I did all three Captain America movies in the same day. I watched them at home. That was fun. That?
How was watching them all together like that?
It was good. It was good. Actually, I have a new appreciation for the first Captain America now because it was I always thought that was the weaker of the three, and really? It's pretty good.
Oh, I would have thought the third one was the weakest of the bunch.
Well, the third one was Civil War.
Yeah, I've gone back and rewatched that one, and it's okay. Like I don't know, the Spider-Man stuff in it's really good, but the
Spider-Man's good. Ant-Man is fun in that. Seeing all these movies, and it's interesting because all these guys, especially guys like Robert Downey Jr., they've been in the Marvel industry for many years, and I'm starting to think like, okay, well. They can't do another couple Iron Man movies or another couple, of these. So they have to start moving on to the next phase or the next couple characters. So I'm always trying to wonder, like, who are the next characters that they're going to bring in?
Yeah.
Because Disney and Marvel, they want to continue making hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on this phenomenon of comic book movies.
Yeah, I guess we're going to get a few Spider-Man movies and a few Black Panther movies. I would imagine we'd get a Black Panther sequel. That'd be kind of crazy not to, but
yeah. We'll have Captain Marvel, the female, and I don't know who else they're gonna do.
I wonder. But, do you think in like 10, 15 years from now they'll just like reboot it and like start it all over again and just like,
maybe, or they might just do different storylines. I don't. It's hard to say with them. I don't know what they're planning. Maybe they pass it on. Maybe Robert Downey Jr. Becomes somebody had said like something that his voice will become like an AI. He'll be like the new Jarvis, and he'll pass it on to somebody, a newer character or something like that, to be Iron Man.
I wouldn't mind seeing them reboot it, especially in like on the business side of things in like 10, 12 years if they've got the rights back to X-Men and Fantastic Four and everything. I don't know. Maybe they redo everything from the start with those X-Men characters, front and center or something. I don't know.
It's crazy. I don't know what, now that they have the rights to those and I don't know what they're going to do with I'm sure they're going to try to inject them into the universe, but how would they do that? I don't know. Maybe something with the Infinity War after the Infinity War. Maybe there's a rift in space time and mutants suddenly show up or something. I don't know.
That's what our mutual enemy, Christopher Alt, said the other day. No, not really an enemy. He's a dear friend, but
he's a frenemy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they would have put them in there. That'd be a fun job to have, trying to figure out how to do it though. Somebody were to pay you money and said, "Hey, put the X-Men in here somehow." Like, okay,
figure this out. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like it'd be easier to put the Fantastic Four in there, but
I think so. Yeah, just have them off being in astronauts in a space adventure that are lost. We forgot to say that this NASA rocket was lost, and then they all of a sudden show back up, and they've been in space, with their powers. I don't know.
Oh, speaking of space, Lost in Space, that's getting a reboot on Netflix, by the way. I saw that today.
It is, and I never saw the movie from the late 90s or something like that. Yeah, I never saw that.
It had Joey from Friends in it. He was the main guy in it.
Right. Yeah.
I saw that movie, and what was bullshit about that movie? It didn't. What? The movie does not end on like a freeze frame, like every freaking episode of the show did. Like, you could really, like, I don't know. That sort of thing would not fly now. If that movie was coming out now and they didn't end on a freeze frame, people would like freaking lose their minds. But it was 1997 and nobody cared about comic books or sci-fi like they do now. So
no, they don't. Yeah. And they also didn't have they had the internet, but they didn't have the voices that they did nowadays.
Yeah. You had to go like AOL keyword Lost in Space and then like good luck trying to find somebody to yak about, go in some chat room or something.
Lost in Space chat room, yeah. ASL.
Yes. Yeah, as everybody's just, did you write ASL with slashes or with periods, by the way? Or did you?
I wrote with slashes.
Oh, okay. I did A.S.L. I don't know why I remember that. That's dumb. That has nothing to do with anything. I don't know why I even asked you that question. So, ASL, James, you know, so. But then sometimes you would lie to people and say you were a girl instead of a boy. Or was that just me who did that? I don't know.
Might have just been you. I don't know.
That might have just been me. I had a very confusing job.
I think that was probably a lot of people.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm a girl. Like, okay, cool, I guess. But man, we really went off the deep end there. Jeez Louise.
Wow.
But yes, Black Panther, see the movie. It's wonderful. And that's about all I can say about that now. So,
and stay through the credits, all right? I can't believe this. So how many movies have been done for the comic books movies have we done already for 10 plus years, 15 years or whatever it is? There's two scenes in the credits and there's still people that are getting up and leaving.
Did you where did you see the Black Panther movie at? Did you see it at like a fancy theater, or where did you see it at?
I saw it at a not really a – well, I don't know if it's a fancy theater. My seats didn't recline, which
that's crap.
I know. But it's a nice theater. It's in a predominantly – I would say it was probably 50-50 African-American and white and then maybe some Hispanic as well. Yeah, so but it was a packed house, but it was in an area where it was close to sort of close to LAX in Westchester. So there was that's a really good melting pot of culture. You know, a lot of African American and Hispanic, and you know, could be some Asian and white and stuff like that.
Oh, nice. Now, yeah. If you cause one of my friends, she went and saw it at the Alamo Draft House, and apparently there's like an extra thing there, and it wasn't at my theater or anything, but it's what's his name? Chadwick Boseman,
who plays cool. Black Panther. Was he there?
No, I wish he was there. But no, like before, like the movie starts, it's just like he's just like staring like into the camera, just like super serious.
Whoa!
And like another one of the actresses comes up. I think it's a woman that played his sister, but I'm not sure. You can probably look this up on YouTube or something like that. And she's like, "What are you looking at?" He's like, "They know." It's like a whole thing, like silence your phones or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, "I'll be watching you through this whole movie." And after the end of the credits, he pops up on that same screen. It's like, "I'm still watching you."
That's pretty funny.
It's great. I hope they have that like on like the special features and stuff like that, because me describing it doesn't give it I don't think that gives it enough justice or whatever. But
now being in Austin, have you ever been to the Alamo Draft House for a movie?
No, I have not, but I need to.
I think you should before you leave, because
I probably will, because that Avengers movie comes out what, in May, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So I think there's like one or two movies that's coming out that I definitely plan on seeing before leaving here. Another one's called Bad Samaritan. It's got like David Tennant in it, but it's like creepy. Looks really good. It's like these kids, they're like what's that called when you drop off your car and then like somebody
valet.
Parks it? Yeah, these kids are like valets at like this fancy place, but then like they drive the cars to like the people's houses and like rob them or whatever. And then they pick up David Tennant's car, and it's like really nice. And they go back to his house, and he's got like some torture dungeon, like some woman like chained up there or whatever. And it's like this whole like, oh my God, you know, what do? We're criminals and stuff. But you know, there's this woman that's, you know, chained up and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then
that's pretty crazy.
Tennant finds out that that's what they've done, and the police don't believe him. And he's like, you know, kind of stalking him or whatever. And, it's like, I don't know. It's like his Kilgrave character, but like cranked up even higher on like the creepy scale or whatever.
I'll have to watch that trailer. I haven't seen it yet. And also, you know, you said Avengers, but Deadpool 2 is going to come out this summer as well.
Yeah, that'll come out before we leave to go to Arkansas in July. So whenever movies come out, which also we'll have to save this for another podcast, but I have absolutely no interest in that Han Solo solo movie.
Neither do I.
That's okay. All right. I thought I was an asshole or something because I didn't care about it. But it's like Han Solo without Harrison Ford. Like, I don't know. What's even the point of that?
Well, I heard there's so many things that went wrong in that. And once Ron Howard took over, they said that there's a rumor that they basically reshot about 90% of the film.
Holy jeez.
Yeah.
Man, what was wrong with that film?
I don't know. They said that the two guys that were the directors, they were all, I think they were also the writers or something, and they were making it really like a more of a comedy. And I don't think the studio really liked the way that they were going. Mm. They also said that the guy who they cast to be Han Solo, they said he is not a very good actor at all.
Is he, as the children say on the internet, a fuck boy? Is that what he is?
I don't know. I don't know if that if he falls under those category or not.
Okay, what is I don't know, a fuck boy according to Urban Dictionary?
It's pretty interesting. While you look that up, it's pretty interesting that you're the only one that's swearing on this show, and I have not.
Just letting it fly, man. Just having a good
just
time.
Just do it. Gotta.
It says a bitch ass basic boy that does stupid just to get a reaction out of people. They usually think that they are cool or suave, but they are not. They tend to be bleep ass bitches in most situations. That's from Urban Dictionary, which I censored some of myself. So,
you did. I certainly hope I never am considered a F boy.
So with this Han Solo actor, is that what category he falls into?
I don't know. I don't know him that well.
I thought you knew him. You live in LA. You know everybody.
I don't know him that well. He was in Hail Caesar. I never saw Hail Caesar. That was the Coen Brothers movie that came out a couple years ago.
You know Chris Hardwick enough to know you don't like him.
And you know, I have my reasons.
You know Jamie Foxx well enough to know
apparently
you don't
do.
Like him either. So I thought maybe you would know this Han Solo.
I know Jamie Foxx not personally through
spiritually.
Other,
you know him spiritually.
Enough that I didn't like him, yeah.
Man, well, I did an image search for fuckboy, and I don't see the Han Solo kid anywhere in these results. So apparently he's not one of those people. But no, I don't want to see that movie. I don't know. I got burned by Rogue One because you and everybody loved that movie.
You know, I liked Rogue One. No, I got burned by the other one, Episode 7.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You didn't like Episode 7. Did you like Last Jedi?
No, no. You know what? I thought Episode 7 was all right, but it was a retelling, obviously, of New Hope. Last Jedi, there were parts I liked, and there were parts that I did not like at all.
I thought that I liked Last Jedi better than Episode 7, but then I realized I saw Episode 7 four times in the theater, and I only saw Last Jedi once. So I think I probably like Episode 7 better than Episode 8. But I did like Episode 8. We'll have to talk about that another time. Maybe when the next time we record, it'll probably be like when the next Star Wars movie comes out, how long we go between episodes, it seems like. So,
sad.
James, where can the good people of the world find you out on the internet?
On the internet, if you'd like to follow me or hear what ramblings I say on Twitter, you go ahead. I am at BeerBaron4Life. That's the number 4 life. I'm also – one of my podcasts is at ArmyOfDorkness_ and at the TLD Podcast, which is a wrestling-related podcast. We review retro wrestling pay-per-views. Right before we started recording, I just finished editing – for Super Brawl 6 from 1996, I believe that is.
Is that the one with Raven and Benoit wrestling?
No, that was before Raven showed up. Benoit had just shown up, but the main event – or no, maybe it was 95. I think it was Super Brawl 95. The main event was two cages. It was Ric Flair taking on Macho Man for the WCW title and Hulk Hogan taking on the Giant.
Hulk Hogan in a cage match? That sounds horrible.
The Hulk Hogan match was awful. The Ric Flair and Macho Man was actually really good. But this was actually, I think, about a year or less than a year before the NWO invasion.
Oh, okay. That's long before Raven then. I'm really, really off on that.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, have you guys gotten to Halloween Havoc 97 yet?
Did we do Halloween Havoc 97? I have to see what that is. Let me double check real quick.
That's the worst cage match I've ever seen in my life.
Is that the three?
No, that's Hogan and Piper in that pseudo knockoff Hell in a Cell cage or whatever.
I don't think we've done that one yet.
There's some decent like matches or whatever. I think Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio. Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko.
Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero to fight for the cruiserweight. It's a title versus mask.
That was a good match.
Let's see what else we had. Kurt Hennig and Ric Flair fought, and Lex Luger and Scott Hall, and Randy Savage and DDP, and then Piper and Hogan. Yeah, gross.
The which was it? What was the match again? You said after Ray and
Kurt Hennig. That's Mr. Perfect.
Oh, and Kurt Hennig and Flair. That, I remember that being not a bad match, but the DDP Savage. It was that wrestling stipulation that I can't stand. It's the one where you have to answer the 10 count or whatever to win.
Those
are so boring. And then Hulk Hogan's dressed up as Sting, and he comes out and he nails DDP with a bat in the ribs, and that's how the match ends. But those matches are just so slow and plodding. It's like, we got to wait for these guys to get up, and they always wait until like 8 or 9 and a half or whatever it is. And
And then inevitably, if they don't knock them down or knock them out, then they always have to tie them up with something or, handcuff them somewhere or something.
And then Mongo, he attacked Goldberg backstage. So Goldberg didn't wrestle on that.
Setting up that feud.
No, I think I'm wrong. I think that was in November. I think that was World War III that happened.
Goldberg did. It says Goldberg did attack Steve Mongo McMichael during the match, hit the jackhammer on him, and placed Alex Wright on top of him for the pin.
I remember that now because Goldberg came and he ran into the ring and he was kind of gyrating his hips or whatever he does in the corner, waiting to do the spear on. On McMichael. So that's what it was. World War III, they were supposed to have a match, but Mongo laid him out with a pipe. Mongo, this is the worst wrestler ever, right?
Let me tell you something, baby.
He reminds me of Steven Seagal without the charisma, and that's already devoid of charisma already. And
I don't think he was the worst wrestler ever, but he certainly was perfect in what he was. He was an ex-jock who was just this boastful and loud, and he was just a bull, no grace whatsoever. So it fit with it's Mongo, baby.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm looking at the match listing on here. Yuji Nagata versus Ultimo Dragon.
That's probably pretty good.
I can't remember a bad Ultimo Dragon match. I might have to watch this pay-per-view again before my subscription ends on a Wednesday.
You may have to.
But yes, you guys, I can't wait for you guys to do Halloween Havoc 97 because I want to hear your thoughts on just how horrible that cage match was. It is.
Oh, yeah.
God awful. And then some fan gets in the ring too, and that's fun.
Usually the worse the pay-per-view is, the better our show is, where we just get to laugh and rip on it. So yeah.
This one will be it, man. It was the first pay-per-view I ever watched in my life was Halloween Havoc 97. That's how remember so many
things
wild. About
it. That's wild.
Yeah. Road Wild.
We've done a few Road Wilds before. Oh, that's fun.
Road, did you do the one with Jay Leno?
No, we haven't done that one yet, but we did one of the early ones, and Bobby the Brain Heenan is audibly really, really drunk throughout the whole show.
Which one is that, 97 or 96?
Road Wild. It had – one of the matches was Harlem Heat. So they're in Sturgis for the biker rally with a bunch of white trash people, and it's the Steiner brothers taking on Harlem Heat, and they are revving their motors and yelling and giving the finger to Harlem Heat because they're two big, giant black guys.
Oh, of course they would. Why wouldn't
they?
Of course.
That what we did was 1990 – we did 96, Hog Wild.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Hog Wild. Then it became Road Wild. Why they changed it. That's a weird thing. I don't know. That would be the one pay-per-view I would love to see WWE try to bring back or whatever.
Oh, God. They made no money on that because that was all free, all the people who were there.
Oh, really?
The only reason why they did Sturgis is because there's a lot of guys, especially Eric Bischoff, who liked riding motorcycles. So that was their annual kind of a vacation pilgrimage thing for them.
Is that what that was? That's all that was?
Yeah.
It was just that.
Oh, and God. I think the reason why they changed it from Hog Wild to Road Wild is I think because Harley Davidson has a copyright on Hog.
Oh, okay.
But he doesn't have a copyright on Henry O. Godwin, which is Hog.
Also, I need to go back on the network and see if you watch the 98 Road Wild pay-per-view, do you get the Travis Tritt concert after the main event? Is that included on it? Oh man. I don't know. No, I need to listen. I need to get back to listening to your podcast, sir. So,
yes, sir.
I will do that. And then you got Army of Darkness.
I got Army of Darkness. In. Yes, and I'm planning on this, man. This idea. I want to do a episode by episode review of one of my favorite cartoons of all time, The Pirates of Dark Water, and it only lasted 21 episodes, came out in the early 90s, and I have done episode 1 and I have not done episode 2 just yet. Hopefully that'll be very soon.
That was a great cartoon, by the way.
That
really was. I'm surprised they haven't rebooted that, like, at all.
Rebooted it or made it a movie or something. Yeah.
That's just like almost, it's stuck in the 90s, and that seems unfair because I don't like it when they just reboot like everything, but it just, of all the things that they reboot, that should be like at the top of the list, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it makes me think of that. And remember that Peter Pan cartoon that was on Fox? It was like,
yes,
dark and gritty Peter Pan, and like, Wendy wasn't white, and it was like, I don't know, felt like ahead of its time or something like that.
I remember that show, yeah.
I remember when Captain Hook got his hand cut off, they turned the screen black. When Peter's like, retelling it, you just hear Captain Hook like screaming or something like that, and it's like just a black screen. And I just wondered, like, was it censored that way on purpose, or is there like an uncut version of it, and then my local network censored it? I don't know how that worked.
Director's cut.
Yeah, I want to see a cartoon Peter Pan like chop off Captain Hook's hand. I just think that would be great. But man, now I want to watch Pirates of the Dark Water. So thanks for that. But
you're welcome.
But and as customary, I always retweet the last thing you say before signing off. You said, quote, that Hab kid's probably going to fake an illness on Monday morning.
Yes, that was the kid who claimed that CNN was lying to him, and CNN has proven that he and his father are liars, and so I am thinking on Monday he's going to I'm feeling a little under the weather. I don't think I'm going to go to school because everybody's going to yell at me.
What is he lying about? What was
He was one of the kids at the Florida shooting.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, he wanted to be on the CNN, the roundtable discussion where they were talking to Marco Rubio, and he had a question that they said, okay, well, this is a really good question that you have. And his dad, I guess, replied or with the producer, and they said, no, I think we want to say this. And he wanted to say this like kind of long, like speech or something like that about, cause they're very pro gun. And the producer was like, well, that's too long. So just stick to the question that you already wrote, and we'll do that. And so he said, no, I don't want to do that. And so then it came out that he said, oh, well, CNN wanted to censor what I was going to say.
Oh, geez,
and so, of course, he was on Tucker Carlson and everything like that. Yeah, exactly. And then CNN, the producer, came out and said, look, the email that you're providing is not – you've doctored it or something like that. Here's the real email. And now they're proven that he's a big fat liar.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's unfortunate because I don't know. There's always a bad apple in every bunch, I guess.
Apparently, that's why I'm saying that, hey, he might want to fake an illness and not have to deal with his classmates yelling at him.
Those kids are the best thing that's ever happened to Twitter, by the way.
Yes, they are.
Oh, man, they've single-handedly redeemed this service, especially. One of them said the other day, they said, we should name AR-15s Marco Rubio's because both could be easily bought. I was like, That was awesome. And then there was some bromance between one of the kids and Seth MacFarlane, which I don't really like much of Seth MacFarlane's work or whatever, but the kid told him, it's like, whatever wit that you saw me display on stage was thanks to years of watching your shows. And I was like, you know what? That's really cool. I don't like Family Guy at all, but kudos to you, Seth MacFarlane, for for giving that kid, you know, something in his life, I guess. I don't know.
Exactly. But, exactly.
I am at 16-Bit Catholic. You can find that on the Twitters. And sorry about the bad words, everybody. Maybe I'll censor those. Probably not. That takes a lot of work. And
it certainly does.
I didn't say anything horrible. I didn't call anybody names except for that Han Solo kid, you know.
But, yeah.
I mean, it's just just goofing around, just shooting the bull, you know? So we will try to do this more often, sir, because this is therapeutic and the people need our words, man. So
indeed they do. They need to be enlightened.
It's good to hear from you, man. And
it is.
You can tweet us, do whatever, and I hope you enjoy the show. Thank you for listening, and everybody have a great night.